There's a thing that's in some guys that's not in me, and because it's not in me, I don't understand it, but I'm super thankful that I have friends that are this way, that like, I was just saying to a couple of our friends the other night, like, I think I want to build a deck on the back of my house, and like instantaneously, they all just got so excited, they started pricing it, making plans, and like, I think it's actually going to happen, and I don't understand how, like... I'm so unhandy that like, I mean, I can make dinner with the best of them. You know what I mean? Mm. Like the dishes that I know how to make, I'm like confident. I can go to the store, I can get the stuff. But like the idea of like taking a space and then putting a deck in, and I was like, yeah, I want a fire pit and I want to like, want one of the walls of the deck to be a bench that you could sit down on. And like the more complicated I made it out loud, the more excited you could see that Jeff was getting in his face. Like his face was becoming more animated. Whereas like I become more frozen.
That's amazing.
It's just, I just don't understand that some dudes are like that. And I'm so unlike that, but I'm thankful to have friends that are like that.
I just feel that way about like landscaping stuff. I can't do any of the handy stuff. I'm so bad at the handy stuff, and I think there's a little part of me who's never owned a house that thought like, I will just be good at this when the time comes.
Like once you get the house, that's when it clicks in.
Yeah. And it has turned out to be otherwise. And
it's just like when SpongeBob decides to grow up. So he just opens up a box and pulls out sideburns.
Yeah, exactly. And quit eating cookies and stuff. Well, like
no sweaters, grandmother.
Yeah, no sweaters. Develop a taste for freeform jazz. But in buying a home, I have learned that I'm not good at it, which is, I think is probably, it was like a pretty defeating thing for me to realize like, wait, I have to have help to do this stuff, which is embarrassing. I just need to be like, yeah, I need help for this, which I think I've gotten there. Like I need help. I need to call my dad. I need to call Jeff. I need to call Rob. I need to call Devo or Joe. Yeah. Just like, hey, I've got to hang a bunch of stuff. Can you come help me?
Yeah.
Or like. Whatever, or like, hey, I need to mount a TV. I really need your help because I don't know where to start with this.
I think there was a part of me that like just assumed that you become a dude of a certain age, so then you are the one that has to do those things for your house. And it's like, no, it's the same thing as before, which is like there are some people who can and some people can't. Mm-hmm. I'm just the one.
I know my classic kid. My whole life, my dad was always someone who was like, hey, I've got to go do this thing. Just come watch me. We're like, yeah. I'll show you. And I rolled every time, you know, like, hey, I need to change the air filter. Like the easiest thing is like, hey, come with me. I'm going to change the air filter on the house or like whatever the thing. I don't even know what it's called. And I was like, ugh, I roll. And then, which like I can do that. I do that fine.
Yeah.
But if it was like, hey, I need to do this on our car. Come watch. I'm going to show you how to do it. You know, he would always be like, one day you're going to have to do this. I'd be like, cool. Like,
is it today?
It's not today. I'm 12.
I will say this though, you can make a bag.
Yeah, I guess I can.
I mean, you make a bag like at this point, like your bagel, the bagel sandwich that you brought to my house, I want to say 3 weeks ago now, was 4 weeks, maybe 4 weeks Saturday, was so good that literally this is a true story. The other day I was in the Food City parking lot. And Donna, who used to own the Hot Bagel, was driving by and she waved at me. And in a normal situation, I would have been like, oh man, there goes Donna. Like the Hot Bagel's over. And I would have been instantly so sad. But I just waved at her and I was like, I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't need all your Donna-ness. I got T Cox and his bags.
Man, I'm thankful I was that for you in that moment.
It was very clarifying. It was like, you know, I've moved on. Moved on from the Hot Bagel.
I know, and I've been reading 1 Corinthians, and it just made me, it's like, I've become all things for, like, I've just filled that void, I guess. Like, someone needed bagels, so I made bagels.
But in all the ways, like you became the bag maker that, like, is not all the things that people had to kind of swallow down.
Yeah.
For Donna in order to get those bags.
I just dropped them off on porches.
Yeah.
That's the way
political opinions.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, right? Probably life, right? Like just like, probably just like a good statement.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If one thing that the coronavirus has caused is it's forced you to figure out how to make bags, then it causes me to be grateful for it.
I know. I think a lot of creativity has come out of coronavirus because
yeah,
there's a lot more free time than there ever was.
Well, I'll also say this. Your bags were definitely good enough that like Devin just group texted and requested them at like 9 a.m. on a Saturday. as if a brother could just snap his fingers at 9 a.m. on a Saturday and like bring the bags.
It was so funny because I hadn't read that text. This was last Saturday. And I called him, Maddie and I called him about, we were having a conversation about how old he was. We were just like, I was like, I think he's this. Maddie's like, no, he's probably this. So we were just like, let's just call him and find out.
Who was right?
I think I was, but whatever. It wasn't like a 10-year age gap. It was like a couple of years.
Right.
But he was like, his first thing when he answered, it was like, are you here with the bagels? I was like, what are you talking about? It was funny.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. In a way, we're going to talk about some scriptures that have been encouraging or challenging or just moving us. And so, sorry, Thomas is just doing a very Thomas thing. He's just like, he's just smelling things. Like he constantly smells things.
Sometimes when you don't know how you smell until you sit for a minute. And then you're like, air around me is now how I smell.
Like pig pen on
pants. Yeah, the dust settles, the cloud settles. You're like, oh, that's it right now. Like I'm about to go to work. I'm dressed for work. And I'm like, how do I smell? That's probably not a good way to start your day.
Yeah, it's not.
For 9 hours, people are going to smell me. I hope it's a good scent. They don't leave thinking, that's a stinky boy.
Well, you are growing your beard out. They probably would say stinky man.
The only thing Lee commented on this morning when I walked in was my mustache. And I was like, wait, dude, it's a whole beard. They would not use the word man to term me. In all facial hair records, I'm 14.
That's why we called you the big head bagel boy.
Big head bagel boy. Poor buddy.
You want to start us today?
Yeah, for sure.
Just poor buddy yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you, Erica Mason.
Buddy. I just like tripped over this morning. You ever have that happen?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That was sweet. And like immediately I screenshotted it and sent it to Maddie. And I was like, this is so cool. Mm. Like I'm
from your house to your house.
Yeah.
Like you were in one room in your house and she was in another room of the same.
Yes. And I heard her phone ding. Like I was like, because I think I was up a little earlier than she was today, and I was like, oh no, I just woke her up with a scripture text. Which I guess there's worse things to be woken up by. This was funny. I just like tripped on it. I did my typical like get lost in the in other things from it. Just like talking. This is from Psalm 36, so it talks about. The Lord's love reaching to the heavens and faithfulness to the skies and righteousness to the mountains and justice like the great deep. So just like a lot of vast, I don't know, like personification of things. That's not even the right word. And it was easy to get lost in those and to like draw pictures in my head and try to fathom those things. And then I read it once and I didn't notice this. And I was like, I'm going to go back through that again just to be sure, because it was one of those where it was like very quick for me to grab onto those things. And then, I was thankful that I read it a second time because I saw something I didn't before. And here we go. This is from verse 8. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. The idea of, I thought it was so cool to think about feasting on the abundance of the Lord's house and drinking from the river of your river of delights, and thinking about the Lord having a river of delight. And maybe you did this one like 2 years ago. I think I'm having like a memory in my head.
I don't think so.
Okay. But Anyways, someone out there is like,
there's something that there's something in you that's like you'll always point that out if you think that we're like repeating.
Well, I had like a flashbulb memory of this conversation already happening.
You know what already happened in my brain was just the original Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Come with me. We started that the exact same time. That was amazing. That's one of the most, like, honestly, this is just a big opinion that I probably need to keep myself.
Come on.
I don't, that movie scares the mess out of me. And I don't watch it. Like, it's always made me uncomfortable. But that moment right there, I've watched that YouTube video 30 times because I think that song is so,
it's a great song.
Lovely. I think Gene Wilder is beautiful singing it. Yeah, like, I'm just like, this is awesome. There's so much joy. But then there's Oompa Loompas and you're like, that's a terrifying thing.
And just Augustus Gloomp in that chocolate river.
And like doors that are so small and people somehow walk. Like, I'm just like, ah, it's terrifying. I don't even eat candy bars because I'm afraid I'm going to get a ticket.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding. But okay, so back to the scriptures.
Yeah, sorry.
Back to the broadcast. There's also part of me that was like begging the Lord to show me like a river of delights, just like, and feel his abundance that he offers, and to like the idea of feasting from it. Like, I was just like, it was like a cool reminder that those things exist, because I think it's a season where you don't necessarily notice those things unless you're really working to find them because of the way the world's going right now. And, it just feels like I'm having to work really hard to convince myself. And like, I don't know. It's probably should be more personal than it is because I'm sharing it with the world, presumably, though the world does not listen to this.
I'm sure that most people in the world listen to this podcast.
Yeah, probably. I would say we're probably at like 6.8 billion. We're not quite at 7.5.
But I think you're close. It's a close guesstimate.
All people with phones and earphones. But just like, it was a sweet reminder that the Lord offers an abundance and he offers delights. And I think it's going to help me today after reading that to like notice those things when I do, because every day, even if a day's crappy, there are moments where there is delight, you know, like you have little ones throughout the day, even if it's just the stinkiest of days and you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed and then things aren't going your way at work and then things aren't going your way at home and all that. But like throughout those days, there's always little moments of delight, and I think it was helpful for me this morning to remember that those come from the Lord and that he offers them and as a river of delight. I think that's so cool. It's not like I saw yesterday that I think the record, maybe one of the highest temperatures in the world, was recorded in Death Valley this week. It's like 130. And I just thought about like standing in that and how like if I had any sweat, it would instantly evaporate. If there was a river, presumably, which I don't know. I don't know the geographic makeup of Death Valley. It's like one of the few things I haven't Googled geographically, you know, like one of my,
you're like a sneaky geographical Googler.
Oh, big time, dude. Like I would say once a day I get on Google Maps in my office and I'm just like, I wonder what this place, its topography is like.
Just thinking about bags, Googling geo.
Or if I'm like reading a book or something and they mention a place, I will instantly like
go check it out.
Check it out to see, to like try to get my bearings in it. Like,
right.
Like I'm rereading The Hiding Place right now. And like one of the first things I did was Google Holland, you know, just Harlem, sorry.
Yeah.
And Harlem and within Holland and look at, you know, the street names she lists and all that stuff.
Right.
And to like get my bearings, even though it looks vastly different. Like there's an H&M across the street from the Bay A right now. And I was just like, that's kind of weird. Yeah.
Just go visit the Bay A and then go buy a Henley.
Yeah, exactly. But
Bjornstadt.
Bartelstrat.
That's it.
But it's like the rivers that the Lord offered don't dry up. Like I would say at some point in Death Valley's history, there probably was some type of river, and there probably is like in the wet season. Or there may not be. I have no idea. I'm just saying random stuff. I'm going to go Google it as soon as I leave here. But like, it's one of the cool things about rivers that flow. Like the Clinch River has never been bone dry in my existence. You know, like I can't think of a time where the water stopped flowing there. I don't know where it starts. It's so interesting. Like when you fly fish in the Smokies, you're like, where does this, every once in a while I have a moment where I'm like, where does this start? Like, how does it happen? How is there like, so if I followed this river, eventually I would get to a place where it doesn't run, but I don't know right. what that is. And to think about the Lord's delights is something like that, where it's like, I don't know where this starts. I don't know where it ends. I've never, you know, I guess I've been to the Gulf of Mexico. So I've seen where the Tennessee River technically ends after it flows into the right. Mississippi, but I've never seen where it starts. And then even there, like there's still a giant pool of water that goes on until it connects with the Atlantic Ocean. You know, it's like, this is crazy. Yeah. The water cycle is crazy. The cycle of the Lord's delights are crazy. You know, I think it's super cool.
You made me think of a lyric from a song that I love. And there's an Indigo Girls song called Ghost. And there's a line that says, well, the Mississippi's mighty, but it starts in Minnesota at a place where you could walk across five steps down. Hmm. And then she says, and I guess that's how you started, like a pinprick in my heart. And now you rush right through me till I almost drown. Mm. And like, there's something really exciting about just, I don't know, the way a river works like that, that like it started so small that like a person could just skip across this little creek. Mm. And then it gets to be, when you follow it down, like the Mississippi, you cannot get in it. You will die. Like, it's just so unbelievable.
When you're in St. Louis and you're looking at the Mississippi River, it's like, that is terrifying.
Yeah, do not get in there. Right. There's a pro baseball player that, like, tried to swim in it and almost died.
Yeah, I think R.A. Dickey tried to do it. That's right. Yeah.
And there was something that you said really early on about, like, you know, like, there is, that made me think about how the abundance of the Lord, like, that made me think about my great aunt Jean, who always made all the food for our Thanksgivings when I was growing up. And just like, whenever I would think about her, I would think about all the amazing food we would eat when we were around her.
That's cool.
And like, because that's what she did for us. She made the most of the best, you know? And it was just like, whenever you were around her, you were going to be eating until you couldn't physically move. And it's like, this is available with the Lord. And I think during the time of the coronavirus, I think what a lot of people are feeling is like, I just have an apathy over so many places in my life. I'm tired of watching movies. I'm tired of playing, you know, board games, and tired of working jigsaw puzzles. I'm tired of trying to figure out how to do Zoom calls. I'm tired of engaging with online church. I'm just tired of trying. And it's like, there is an abundance there. There is a rushing river of delights, but I'm going to have to engage it, you know? And, anyway, that's where my brain went when you brought all that up.
That's really cool. I like that one. I like that scripture.
Yeah. I was reading, in Revelation chapter 4 and a little while back, and Revelation chapter 4 is where, like in chapters 2 and 3, we get those letters from Jesus and to the seven churches. And then in chapter 4, basically a voice says, come up here to John. And then like he has a vision of heaven. And we start to see what it's going to be like and what it's like now. And it's like, there's this amazing thing where you're like, where John is just like trying to describe stuff that he can't really understand. Like, he's talking about this throne, and there's like, and the one who's seated on the throne was like this, and he was like this. And then there was this rainbow, like this 360 degree rainbow around the throne that looked like this. And the word like is in there a lot, because he's just like, I just can't understand this. Mm-hmm. Then there's all these living creatures. He like doesn't know how to, it's like it had a head like this and had a body like this. And it's just like, beyond my ability to understand. And then, first of all, there was a thing in me that like, when I was reading that again, this time it was like, I'm part of something so huge that it is so other. Like this is beyond me. And it, like, there's something sweet about the message of the gospel and the kingdom of God that like, this is very intimately and personally about me. Like, literally the Son of God gave his blood so that I might have a friendship with him and I might be able to have a relationship with God, a mended, repaired, and new and beautiful relationship with God. And that is so personal, and that's so about me, and it's so about you. Mm. And then like you read something like this and it's like, this is so much bigger than me, and it's so much weirder than me, and it's, and the creative genius of God and the expression of his ability to make things and come up, like it, that is so far beyond my ability to understand. It's crazy. And then it culminates in this. The last verse of chapter 4 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." And the thing that I centered on was just like, just the idea that like, he is worthy to receive. And then I started thinking about myself and my day and how I allocate my energy. Like, I know that a certain portion of my day, I'm going to allocate some energy and some time to, I'm going to read something, and then I'm going to allocate a huge amount of my energy and focus and time into the daily, like, deliverables, the work that I need to do today. And then I'm going to allocate some of my energy and my time to, you know, just to like listen to my kids and try to understand their world. And, you know, all of the things that like I'm putting my energy and time into. And it was really cool for me to see, like, here's one thing about the Lord. He is worthy to receive. And it's like, yeah, I want to dial in the focus on that, that like, he is worthy. He has a right to receive whatever I have to give. Mm-hmm. If I've got some energy to listen, I need to allocate that to him, because he's the one who deserves to get my energy to listen. If I have some energy to put my hand to some work, he is the one who deserves that. It's like, yeah. I might be over everything during coronavirus. I might be fatigued. I might be apathetic. I might be lethargic. I might be just from the beatdown of the virus. But there's something that's resetting to me about the idea that like, he deserves to receive whatever I have, and not just my overflow. He deserves what I've got from the get go. Mm. He made me, he has first rights. Mm. And like, if I have some energy to listen, if I have some energy to love, if I have some energy to sing, if I have some energy to thank, to be, you know, to be intentional about any of those types of things, he's the one who deserves it.
Mm. That's super cool. It's so funny. Like my first gut reaction to what you're saying is like, oh, I don't have much. So I feel like he's been getting, a lot of times he's been getting the dregs of me lately.
Right.
And it also helped me to read this and like to look right above it is the, you know, in verse, I guess it's verse 8, right before it says, "Day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And like, it says day and night they never stop. Like, that's what people are doing, you know, over and over. And it's like the things that the four living creatures, I don't know. It's like John trying to describe what he sees, and it's like, this is confusing. I can't understand it. But the thing I can understand is that that's what people are saying. And then there's also people who are laying their crown. Like, the way this starts is they lay their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. You know, the thing you read. And like, it was helpful for me to read that and think like, there's a lot of times right now where I don't have the words for what I need to say to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And like, they're right here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the next moment I have where like, I don't know what to say to you right now, I'm like, I'm going to flip to Revelation 4 and just say what people are saying nonstop to him, you know? Yeah. And it was helpful because this is just like this feels like a third scoop of ice cream when I thought I was only going to get two. It's like, here's exactly what to say to me when you can't think of it. And when it's hard to, I'm going to give you the words for it. And I think that's cool. This is obviously not the direction you went with it, but it's the thing that, like, where I feel like I'm at right now. It's like, this is the thing. This is the thing you need from this.
It's adjacent, you know? I mean, I think they're related. This is interesting because especially when I was kind of like Jack or Nora's age, when I would read stuff like this in the scriptures, it would be like, wait a minute. So in heaven, people are just constantly singing the same song. Like they're constantly just going off about holy, holy, holy. Like, and we sang that song in church, you know, our version.
I love it. I choose that every time I lead music, you know,
just like that old hymn, you know, but like in, you know, just to be perfectly frank, that hymn in my church growing up, it was like, there was literally nothing more boring to me
right.
than to sing that song again. You know, so like this idea, I just couldn't even get my head around the idea that people would be constantly praising the Lord and like saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. But like knowing what I know now, I would bring a couple experiences and a couple thoughts to this that kind of maybe starts to give me a glimmer of a vision of like why that's not boring, mm-hmm. which is an odd thing to say about heaven. But like the word holy just means different. Like that they're just saying to Jesus, there is nobody like you.
Right.
There's nothing like you and nobody like you. And I can't get over it. Mm. Like the fact that they're always saying it is like that. And I think about like the last time that we got to go to Chicago with college and high school kids, I remember I'm sitting at a table. We're having dinner at that, it was like that food court type of place under that Water Tower Place mall or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And up on Michigan Avenue. And remember Ashley Reedy and Galen Warren and a couple other people were like, all right, I've never gotten into the Hamilton thing. Tell me why it's cool. And I proceeded to go off for like an hour and a half. Like, oh dude, I could talk about this for a semester. Mm. And it was just this thing of like, you don't understand. There's nothing like this. There's never been anything like, and I was just like, this point and this point and this point and this is why it blew me away. And this is what I learned about it later that added these layers to it and stuff. And they were like, what? That's really cool. And yeah. I'm like, this is what I'm saying, you know? And then after that, I remember, cause Galen wasn't even into it before, which I thought was weird cause she was a theater kid. Yeah. And now she's like totally obsessed with it. And it was like, and she's like drafting off this energy that I had of it to where I'm like, no, you don't understand. There's never been anything this cool. And which like the Hamilton musical is cool. It's cool. But like the idea of when you finally see Jesus face to face in his fullness and his glory and in ways that we never have fully understand what he did for us and what he did for other people. And you hear stories forever about the way that he woke this person up and the way that he rescued this person. And people are just going to be going, there's nobody like you. Oh my gosh. And then somebody else tells their story and you're like, you just turn to Jesus and you're like, there's nobody like you. Holy, like you. And it's like, that is such an exciting prospect. And it takes me back to that other thing of like, you're the one that gets to receive my energy today. You're the one who deserves to get my, whatever I've got. Even if what I've got is, all I've got is that I can be completely honest about the fact that I feel empty, grumpy, frustrated, and I just need to go back to bed. Like, you're still the one that gets to receive that level of friendship from me. The honesty of my neediness and my grumpiness or whatever. Like, I can even bring you that because you're the one that's that good of a friend to me. You know, just that he deserves to receive all of it.
It's really cool. It's really helpful.
Yeah, to me, it felt like a reset.
Yeah, it's a good word for that.
Good luck with your beard, dude.
I think it's probably gone today.
I'm pulling for it.
That'd be my guess. Today's probably its last day.
Man. No, thank you,
Grandpa. I'll try again in 3 years.
I'm here for it, man.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks, guys, for listening. We love y'all. We've been getting some text messages and stuff and that from people that are just being thankful for this, and that pumps us up like
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't even realize. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Amen.
Didn't have to, but you came for me. Oh, you heard my crying, saw my need, left that perfect home to rescue me. Oh, how you love me. You left heaven to be poor like me. Of all your glory and did it all for me. I was so far gone, a hopeless case. You went to the cross to take my place. Let them mock your name, spit in your face. Such amazing. Amazing grace. No, you didn't have to, but you bled for me. Rose up from your grave to set me free. I'm not the person that.